You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello. Hi. How are you? Good evening, and welcome to ENN. On a Friday evening in New York, I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm an inveterate rules follower.
Perfect.
And maybe that's why people don't want to hang with me.
I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Golf is garbage.
And good evening, Don.
Can't wait. I will watch every... Buys golf!
Perfect. Then let's hit some Tiger Watch.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today? Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
Not a great day for LT Gray, Michael.
Yeah.
He sort of imploded early and often. And ended up finishing the day 3 over. Four over for the day, 3 over for the tournament. You know, he's won the Memorial 5 times. It's generally just a playground for him. The leader is now Ryan Palmer, who's tied with Tony Finau. Excuse me, they're both 9 under. John Rahm,
wow.
8 under.
Supposedly, yesterday the course played really tough. I guess today wasn't as bad.
Well, no, it's actually similar, Michael. It's seems like, you know, because Finau was, what, I think 5 under yesterday, or 6 under yesterday, 3 under today. So still relatively tough, but everyone thought Tiger wasn't going to make the cut. It now looks like he should be safe. The cut line has dropped to 4.
Oh, thank goodness.
And Tiger should be safe at 3. Let's hear from Tiger on his round.
Well, not very good. 3-putted 2 holes early, and whatever kind of momentum that I was going to create, I stifled that early and fought it the rest of the day. Yeah, I wasn't quite moving as well as I'd like, and couldn't quite, you know, turn back and couldn't quite clear. So it was a bit of a struggle.
Don, how do you feel about it?
Can't wait. I will watch every golf.
Wow.
Do you hear how psychotic he sounds there?
Yeah, but people want to spend time with him in quarantine. Clowns.
Fix that!
So, you know, Don, I reached out to Don earlier today.
Yeah. Why?
Because I wanted to know. It was important for me to know.
What?
Right.
What hockey player made the most sense? Were any of them good enough to surpass Sam Darnold?
It's hockey, man.
Don wrote me 4 hours after I wrote him and said, sorry, I didn't see this. You nailed it. What a guy. You know what? I would also want to quarantine with him.
Blah.
See, the one thing that I love Don. We all joke. But it's like you're dealing with the Pony Express when you try to get him on an email. He constantly has his phone in his hand, but he doesn't look at his email.
You know
I'm right.
Well, I don't like pursuing stereotypes about iPhone people and non-iPhone people.
Yeah, he's got a flip phone, right?
It does sometimes seem, though, like the non-iPhone people aren't as... And maybe that's a good thing, that they're less attached to their phone. But they also can be a little bit harder to get a hold of.
And then he shares an email with his wife. It's draconian is what it is.
Is that really the word choice?
I mean, the email is like... I can't even tell you the email address because it exposes what it is. It just, You shouldn't be sharing an email with your wife. It just it doesn't make sense.
You think it's unprofessional?
There's plenty of email addresses available. You don't share one with your wife. Especially when it's for business.
It's not the most professional address of all time. But, you know, it gets the job done.
Okay.
Kind of.
All right. You just like everybody else, fine.
Yeah, I love Don. If that makes me like everybody else, I love Don.
Okay.
What happened to you earlier, by the way? Why'd your audio crap out?
I'm gonna tell you what, okay? I'm gonna tell you why. So we have what's called a Comrex.
Sure we do.
All right, so it's connected to electricity, and I have all these wires under my feet at the desk of my house, and I guess I inadvertently in the last day or so kicked out the connection. So the Comrex continued to work on battery. And after I'd said that sentence, the battery had just died. So then I had to climb under the table and find where the connection went awry, and I put it together, and I was back on the air in a minute.
So I've had that happen before. Did you hear that horrifying sound where it sounds like it's burning up in your ears?
No, it just went dead.
Oh, mine did this thing once where it's like, and like it sounds like the thing exploded. By the way, I'm watching a video right now in Queens from last night. Oh, Michael. People are out in the streets. This is why the governor had to announce this massive, you know, the new rule policy for restaurants. That if you get busted trying to do this drinking on the street business, you get a few citations, you're closed. Because what I'm seeing right now, I think it's Steinway Street, out of control in Astoria. Out of control. And no masks.
People wearing masks? No.
No. I see one in this photo.
We're going to have this around for a long time. Here's the one thing I don't understand. Like, you're infringing on people's rights, right? When you ask. So I guess the people that won't wear masks, see if this parallel works for you. I guess they refuse to not drive drunk because, I mean, that should be your right, right?
Right. Oh, no, but you can't because that could you could kill someone and that would affect someone else.
But that's what masks are for, too.
Oh, that's right. Well, New York City is making some changes. Supposedly, we're on track to allow zoos to open at a limited capacity. That's very important. Need to get the zoos open. So we can see those poor tortured animals in their cages.
I like the fact that you can open the zoos. Like the next couple of days, it's going to be like close to 100. And there's nothing like that smells like an animal's habitat in a zoo in the heat.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The aroma is amazing. I mean, Burger King is changing its policy because of that aroma.
By the way, why can't people do like normal things? Like an awesome drive-in movie theater opened in Brooklyn, and I know it's not the only one. There's a handful of them. Like, why can't people just do things like that and get creative and find things to do? We have to be so desperate to just do the same basic things we always did.
You know
adapt.
What? You've met my sister and you like her.
I'm a big fan.
She loves the zoo, and I despise it. And we come from the same womb. I mean, she, her family, they belong to the Bronx Zoo. Loves it. I don't get it.
It's hot. You walk endlessly. You end up getting sad for half the animals. I'm kind of anti-zoo, even though I do go occasionally. If you want my honest opinion. Hey, Michael, Major League Baseball and the MLBPA jointly announced the latest COVID-19 testing for the week ending yesterday, July 16th.
And it's all good.
They tested 10,548. There were 6 new positives.
That's amazing. If our country had that percentage, we'd be in great shape.
By the way, that's 0.05%. It feels like less than that, no?
Well, 0.05 is pretty low.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But 6 out of 10,000 feels like
less. I guess in Florida, what is it, 18%?
And by the way, Michael, I still haven't gotten I don't think I've gotten any of my test results yet.
And when did you go?
Last weekend.
See, that's going to be a big concern in battling this, because if you get a test and then it waits 10 days to get the result, it means nothing. You could have contracted it the second you got out of the test, or a day later, or 2 days later. It means nothing. That means absolutely zip, other than if you get a test and then you don't leave your home after that.
I just logged into the portal again. They told me that my antibodies test would be back in 3 days, nothing, and a week for my COVID test, nothing. And tomorrow's a week.
I did an antibody test about a month ago, got back in 2 days.
How can I got to reach out to someone.
Although there's a writer for The Athletic, her name is Molly Knight, and she did a test at Dodger Stadium. You know, the whole parking lot is dedicated. And she said she got it back within 30 hours. She was amazed at how efficient it was. She said there were thousands of cars, and it took from entering the parking lot to getting it done and leaving was 55 minutes. That's pretty extraordinary. She said it was very efficient.
I don't really know what to do now in order. I guess I have a piece of paper over there. Maybe I can call a number. But they said I'd get a text message. They said you'll get a text when your results come in. I've gotten nothing, and I just checked. Nothing's there.
Well, you're more leaning on the antibodies because you don't feel ill or anything.
No, I don't exactly.
But you did a long time ago when this all started.
Yeah, I did. That's why I'm hoping. But then they say the antibodies fade so much that I might not really have much of an indication right now.
It doesn't fade that much. There still aren't examples of people that had it that, not that many that I've read that got it again.
Do you want to hear?
I'd love to.
Earlier today, Paul Feinbaum was on Get Up.
How about Feinbaum's going to have a sitcom about him?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, on what channel?
I don't know. They're shopping it. There's a lot of interest from all the networks.
He's a pretty interesting dude.
Yeah. The last guy I could think of that got a sitcom was Tony Kornheiser.
He did?
Yeah. Jason Alexander played him. I think it lasted 2 seasons, maybe.
What was it called again?
I forget.
It was great.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's Paul on Get Up. He has some strong words for the NCAA president.
Mark Emmert is a complete failure at leadership. First of all, it was nice of Mark Emmert to come out of the witness protection program yesterday to let us know what we should all know about the college football season. He is the president of the NCAA. He makes $3.5 million a year, and him telling us there's a problem is like a meteorologist telling us during a hurricane that it's raining outside. He is a complete abject failure at leadership. He's been derelict in his duty. And quite frankly, I think he should be fired. We might wait till this storm passes to get rid of him, but he has no use whatsoever except taking up airwaves with idiotic, inane, and unimportant statements. So Ryan, bottom line is that Mack Brown is saying what a lot of people are saying. College football needs leadership. They have 5 conference commissioners, but no one is in charge.
Boy, if I'm Mark Emmert, I don't want Paul Feinbaum going against me. I mean, he's an opinion shifter. That is not a good thing.
Well, by the way, I'm seeing big news on Instagram right now.
Tell me, talk
just
to me.
Just posted a minute ago. Our very own Ty Butler announcing a baby on the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like Ty.
Me too. January 2021. Wow, they really got after it quickly. They've been married for 5 minutes.
Could be a honeymoon,
right?
Baby.
Very close to it.
Yeah.
So congrats to the Butlers. January 2021. Also, I've heard from Don LaGreca. He said, first of all, you texted me. And second, I'm on vacation! Exclamation point.
It's a joke!
So,
See, but
Number one,
he's shape-shifting now because he could be working and you email him and he doesn't get it for hours. And he even gets into fights with executives here. Well, we sent you an email. I didn't see it. Well, how did you not see it? Well, I didn't look. So, I mean, I was on vacation last week. You look at your phone. You look at your email. It's not always business there.
Well, he's taking a real break.
Okay, I'll play along.
Eric Bledsoe of the Bucks tested positive for coronavirus, so he has not made the trip to Orlando yet to join the NBA restart. He said, I'm asymptomatic, I'm feeling fine. Once I meet the protocols, I look forward to joining my teammates in Orlando. He'll then have to have a minimum two-day quarantine and positive and negative tests. Now, Milwaukee's first seeding game is, Michael, you could talk about coming out sexy. You want to hear sexy?
Love it.
The first game, July 31st against Boston. Oh, yeah, baby. Bucks Celtics. How does that sound?
I wonder what those teams are going to do. Like, the teams that are locked into playoff spots and locked into where they're, you know, why would you play hard?
Well, but there's, because these games are for seeding, no?
Yeah, oh, but you're starting out with the seeding the way it is. It's for seeding really on the bottom. They could drop out. Now, I don't know how close the number two seed is to the Bucks, but I don't think the Celtics are close to the Bucks. Why are the Bucks going to play Antetokounmpo like 35 minutes? Why? I mean, they got the number one seed all locked up.
Yeah, no one's catching the Bucks. The actual official breakdown of the East would be the Bucks are 6.5 games ahead of the Raptors, 9.5 games ahead of the Celtics.
Right. So, I mean, these are tune-up games for them. I mean, they'd be crazy. I mean, Budenholzer would be crazy to play everybody a lot of minutes. You just play them enough minutes to get them sharp for the playoffs.
The seeding that could move around is, well, there's a possibility that Brooklyn loses every game,
which would actually benefit them in the long run.
But the problem is, even if they lose every game, are the Wizards going to be able to make up six games? They're terrible.
And they weren't
good before
Beal.
They lost Bradley Beal.
Right. So it's going to be it will be tough to fall out, although they could fall to the eighth spot, which means they have to take on the Bucks rather than the Raptors. And they played well against the Raptors. But the Nets have been okay against the Raptors.
Yeah. Who's this team? This
team is this team is terrible.
Yeah, the COVID Nets are a totally different.
You just signed a guy who I like a lot, who's 40 years old, Jamal Crawford, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he might be one of the best players on the team. He's 40 years old, didn't play all year. Caris LeVert, I think, is going to be putting on a show. He's a really good player. With no Spencer Dinwiddie there, he's obviously the guy that's going to have to run the show. But they're a very, very shaky team.
Dwight Howard has been busted on the snitch line. That's right. Although he may have just snitched on himself because he was posting videos not wearing a mask. So, yeah, he could have been reported by someone else for not wearing a mask, or he could have just done it to himself for posting social media videos. By the way, Michael, yesterday I saw videos on ESPN.com of players shotgunning beers.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Did you see that?
And the aforementioned J.J. Redick was, like, you know, sitting in a makeshift hot tub. That is some shaky bubble.
2 weeks from today is when you'd see the Bucks and the Celtics.
You watching?
Oh, I'm in.
Are you watching?
I'm watching. I'm trying to decide what game I'm most curious to see.
Are you watching?
Like, am I most curious to see what an NBA game looks like in the bubble? Or am I more curious to see a baseball game?
You watching every game, baby? Are you watching?
I don't know. I mean, the baseball game, we've kind of gotten an idea by watching, yes, and seeing the inner squad games. You know,
are you watching?
Nobody has any idea what the NBA is going to look like.
Yeah, that we've barely gotten a look at all. That's a good point. The NHL Restart Arena suffered some water damage in a storm. It's the Oilers' home, one of the two arenas
that the NHL is using as a hub to restart its season suffered water damage on Thursday night as a storm came through Edmonton. They're assessing the damage, and they said, quote, at this time, we're confident that it will not hamper our planning and preparation. We'll all be ready to host the return of the NHL as the hub city. So the Western Conference teams are scheduled to travel to Edmonton on July 26th, with exhibition games beginning July 28th, and the real thing starting on August 1st.
You know, you get floods. The Lincoln Tunnel was flooding the other day, and you're just waiting for locusts.
I know. Or well, it's the 10 plagues that's truly upon us. So, Michael?
Yep.
The ESPN has an article called Ranking the NFL's 10 Safeties for 2020. The name of the article is that, : The Rise of Jamal Adams.
Was he third?
It's a good question.
I think he's third.
Apparently, apparently I'm not logged in to see the full article. Third. RJ says he believes he's first.
Really? That's not what I saw. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
My point was mostly this, though. It's just interesting to see when you... an assessment of top safeties in the league and where everything stands for him to get that kind of, you know, attention right now. There's an article here. Jets Jamal Adams, the second best defensive player in the NFL, according to an NFC executive.
I mean, let's say that we believe that. And, you know, he's pretty darn good. What does that translate into? Should they give him all that money? Is a safety as important as other places that you could put that money? That's what they have to answer. And they don't have to do it yet.
And yes, by the way, number one on the ESPN poll.
All right. Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying it means that the Jets have to prioritize him that way, but it does give you some understanding maybe of his frustration.
Oh, I know why he's frustrated. He doesn't want to make the money he's making this year. And in the NFL, every time you step on the field, your career could end. And then you put in the COVID-19 aspect of it this year, he's probably very frustrated. But it's the CBA that the players voted on negotiated. They don't have to do anything for him. It's the Jet. It's in the Jets. It's in the Jets' court now.
How about this, Michael? Curious for your thoughts. A study says that less than half of top college football and basketball coaches have taken pay cuts during the pandemic. They did a study of all 65 Power 5 schools plus 10 other colleges with top-tier basketball programs, and they found that 33 of the 75 took pay cuts. Among those not taking pay cuts were 8 of the top 10 paid football coaches and at least 5 of the 10 highest paid men's basketball coaches, some of whom work at universities where other employees have had their salaries reduced.
See, that's what's tough to take. If teachers had to take cuts in salary, then why don't the coaches have to take cuts?
And like,
and also the coaches make way more money than any of the professors make.
I mean, and that's what I'm saying. The coaches are already, most of them are already older and rich.
Like, if Nick Saban, I'm not saying he has to do this, would just magnanimously say, I'm not taking my salary this year, I don't think it really would impact his quality of life. And boy, would he look like, you know, an unbelievable big man. Same thing with Mike Krzyzewski. I don't know if he's on that list or not, but I did see Saban hasn't taken a cut. Dabo Sweeney hasn't taken a cut. And, you know, there are a lot of coaches that work for, like, state universities. States are going out of business. They're going bankrupt. And especially if they don't coach this year.
Michael, you know, a lot of people are very into the Madden rankings and ratings for players.
Yeah, I'm not.
Michael Thomas is a 99. He's number one as a wide receiver. Where do you think Odell Beckham Jr. sits?
I don't know where he sits, but I'd say his number's probably a 93.
Not bad. He's a 91.
Okay.
But that puts him between Keenan Allen and Mike Evans. He's below Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and Michael Thomas. I'm sure a lot of that, though, is just based on sheerly the numbers last year in Cleveland. Because things weren't great when he was playing there for Freddie.
Kiki.
By the way, you didn't hear from Freddie Kitchens again today, did you?
No, I haven't, no.
All right, good.
I'll kill you.
Yeah, I was worried about some of the things he said yesterday.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.